Hi, everyone. Welcome in right at 4 past the hour, 3 o'clock here on a Friday. Kind of wet outside. Hopefully not white tomorrow. Ugh. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes. Kyle Mann, our producer. It is a gym class taking you through the 3 o'clock hour here on KGYM. More championship games going on at the Uni Dome. Regina fell today, in case you missed it. Van Meter, very good Van Meter team over Regina, 28-7. Right now, for 5.5 minutes remaining in the second half in the 2A championship, it is zip-zip between Williamsburg and Waukon. Tonight, 4A, Iowa City West, number 1 versus number 2, West Des Moines, Dowling. And we'll have it tonight, 6:45 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. Iowa State basketball coming your way at 5:30 on 1600 AM. At 5:30, the Todd Brommelkamp show today with Rob Howe. Since Alex is up in Cedar Falls, the TB show will be on 107.5 and 106.3 FM at that time, as Iowa State will take on the Tulsa Golden Hurricane coming up today in the semifinals of the Puerto Rico Tip-Off Classic after the win yesterday against Appalachian State. Mark, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Good afternoon. My preparation paper here is just full.
It's a what would the great Gus Schrader would say about today?
That would be a pass the hash day.
It is pass the hash day for a Friday. And not the hash, maybe
not a good hash,
a lot of people are thinking about in 2017. This is different hash we're talking about. If you had any problems differentiating that out there. Let's start with last night. Congratulations to the Xavier Saints as they are the 3A champions in football in the state of Iowa. Convincing 31-13 win over the Appella Dutch, the three-time defending state champions last night. Great all-around effort. A little bit of trick plays thrown in there by head coach Dwayne Schulte last night as well.
I thought terrific execution on Xavier's part, and I'm sure they wanted a measure of revenge against Pella, which had kind of been a thorn in Xavier's side recently. But I thought from the first drive, Xavier set the tone, took a 7-0 lead, and you mentioned the sort of trick plays, a screen pass to Drazel that went for a touchdown, and then the double pass that also went for a touchdown. Just really timely, excellent play calling. And you can't discount the defense either, which limited Pella to one score until the very end.
Yeah, and the field goal, the fake field goal as well.
Yeah.
Play that young Reggie Schulte came up with. And, of course, this week, Mark Farley, we talked about this on the program on the broadcast last night up at the Uni Dome, but Mark Farley had a nice little one-minute snippet this week out of his news conference as Reggie Schulte will be enjoying senior day tomorrow for UNI. And Mark Farley said, Reggie Schulte knows this playbook maybe better than I do, and inside and out. And Reggie's going to be a heck of a football coach someday. And never know if he may end up on that staff.
He was a very good football player.
Yes, he was.
But just did not, I think, basically you and I to gain coaching knowledge.
Yes, he
more
did.
Than anything else. And there's nothing wrong with that. And hats off to him. And as you mentioned, yeah, he did help a little bit last night, I think.
Came up with that play, and we were trying to describe it, and we thought maybe something was up a little bit. But that was a great call, and that kind of put things away at that point. But Xavier gets their second state championship in school history to go along with the 2006 4A state championship that Xavier won over Southeast Polk back in the day. And finally, as we said, they've pretty much done everything now in 4 years in 3A. They had one thing left on the bucket list, and that was to knock off Pella, and they got Pella last night.
The Xavier team returns quite a bit, starting with Quinn Schulte, the quarterback, Braden Stovey at running back, among others. They're going to be good again next year.
Yeah, I think they'll be okay. I think they're going to be fine coming up next year. Mentioned Waukon and Williamsburg going at it right now, and it is Waukon on the move as they are deep in Williamsburg territory now. That is in the second quarter with just over 4 minutes remaining. Well, Waukon had a touchdown called back due to a penalty, and they are inside the 10-yard line of Williamsburg. We'll keep you updated on that particular game. Before we leave the realm of high school here, let's go ahead and I believe a touchdown. Yep, touchdown for Waukon. The Indians are ahead at this point. Let's get to the preseason girls basketball poll in Iowa high school girls basketball, because there is a whole bunch of our local schools that are rated. Class 1A, I know, Mark, are you sitting down?
See, I'm thinking Springville.
Springville is your number one team in the preseason. Be shocked if they didn't go wire to wire, but the senior-laden group over there for a brand-new coach, number one going into the season. Montezuma is ninth, Janesville 11th, and Linville Sully 12th, Bellevue Marquette 13th. 2A, Northland starts the season number one for the Lynx for Brian Wheatley. So that's a nice feather in their cap. Iowa City Regina right behind them at number two with Mary Crompton. And then you've got, let's see, going down the list here, Bellevue 7th, Cascade 11th, Maquoketa Valley for Scott Monk, who we'll talk to briefly next Wednesday ahead of Rivalry Saturday. They are coming in at number 12, and Dyke New Hartford 15. Class 3A, Sioux Center starts the season at number one. You've got Davenport Assumption 6th. And Monticello is 13th in 3A. Class 4A, the Marion Indians start the season at number one. Center Point Urbana is 3rd. Grinnell, 4th. Defending champ North Scott is 6th. Western Dubuque, 9th. Cedar Rapids Xavier is 13th. 5A, I don't think a real big surprise right here. They won volleyball, and they're going to be a pretty big, well, there's some good 5A teams at the top. Cedar Falls is the preseason number one. Of course, with, I believe, three or four commits to UNI on the team, including Cameron Finley, who his family moved up from Linmar to Cedar Falls. Indianola is second, then Iowa City West and Iowa City High, 3rd and 4th in the preseason poll. Cedar Rapids Prairie is at number 14. In the poll right there. Prairie Hawks should have a pretty darn good team this year.
Whose poll is this?
That's the Girls Union.
Okay.
That is, I guess, the official, unofficial poll.
I saw the Gazette rankings this morning had West and City High 1-2 and Cedar Falls 3. I don't know. Maybe you can throw a blanket over those three. I don't know.
There's some really good teams at the top. Really good. I mean, Springville obviously is a heavy, heavy favorite in Class 1A. Coming up this year. Marion, I think you talked about Xavier, what they had to overcome with Pella, and they were the team that was kind of, you know, that was the one they had to get by to fulfill the bucket list or whatever the case may be. Marion girls have come so close and got to the championship game last year, lost it in overtime, and they would like to go out on top, obviously.
For sure.
So there you go. A couple other news and notes. Before we get to basketball here, Danica Patrick has announced basically her retirement. She's going to race twice next year. She's going to race at the Daytona 500, and she will race at the Indianapolis 500 coming up next year. And that is it for her career. Dale Earnhardt Jr. going to start at the back of the field, as you heard on the Sports Center at the top of the hour. They had an engine change, and that necessitates him starting at the back of the field.
His last ride,
and
right?
It will be his last
how,
ride.
How will you remember Danica Patrick's career?
I will remember Danica Patrick for two things. One, and then Danica Patrick took the money and run. Isn't that a song? Come on, take the money and run. Mm-hmm. Danica Patrick took the money and ran. She was an open wheeler her whole life. Saw the big bucks of NASCAR, and it just wasn't for her. Didn't have the greatest rides either, and basically going to be known as, you know, not the driver she probably could have been if she stayed in IndyCar and an open wheel racing.
Won one race, am I right?
One race. She won in Japan
Yeah.
in the IndyCar ranks, and then left I believe, a year after that to go to NASCAR, or very shortly after that to go to NASCAR. And not saying she was going to be a big winner in the IndyCar ranks, but I think she would have been better at it because she was growing up with that in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
She raced open wheel cars, and who knows where it would have taken her. But she made that choice. Also remember for the win in Japan, which was a race basically that happened late at night in the States, early in the morning. Nobody really knew it. And for leading, tell you what, like I said before, and we've talked about it here, I go to the Indianapolis 500 every year. I have never heard a place as loud, football, basketball, baseball, whatever, 350,000 people cheering at the top of their lungs when Danica Patrick led with about 10 laps to go.
Being close, didn't
she? In the Indianapolis 500.
Yeah.
I mean, that sent shivers down your spine. It was that loud.
Somewhat of a trailblazer in my mind. I mean, when you think of open wheel, Janet Guthrie was a woman that kind of opened the doors there. But Danica Patrick was merchandise, I think. GoDaddy, right on down the line. Very good representative of those companies. But her career, nondescript in my mind. Not bad.
But just wasn't.
But just there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. 319-366-1600 if you would like to weigh in. I know we have a lot of racing fans out there. We're going to talk to Tim Newton of Purdue football coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Iowa State last night. I did not get to see either game. Listen to the Cyclone game on the way up on 1600 AM last night to the Uni Dome. And very interesting. Iowa State found some offense last night. Cameron Lard really, really helps. Brace still questionable as far as what he can do out there after the two knee injuries. But Cameron Lard's going to help that team. Now, does it make up for the 0-2 start? I don't know. And they'll get a little bit of a push from Tulsa today. But they showed they can score yesterday, but they also showed they need help with that defensive end, giving up 98 to Appalachian State.
Yeah, I think it was just one of those games that kind of developed like that. Shabazz from Appalachian State just shot lights out in the first half, and Nick Weiler-Babb then was assigned to him pretty much exclusively and kind of shut him down. And then the other guard went off for 32 for Appalachian State. They just shot it very well from the outside, and credit them. But you also have to look at Iowa State's defense, and Lard is going to help. He had 12 points, 11 rebounds last night, and he's a presence in the middle. He's kind of a rim protector. But he got into a bit of foul trouble last night. I think that might be the thing to watch out for him. He may be foul prone, but this is the first time out after two games on the bench. Coach's decision in that regard, and I don't know how much better Iowa State's going to be than they were against Milwaukee. But last night I was impressed but encouraged.
I would agree.
Iowa had one of those games that just kind of laid there against Grambling. What was an 11-point victory? And you know, this is against the 300 and
yeah, this is not a good Grambling. This is not a good
team
Grambling
in the country,
team.
Yeah.
Iowa does secure the number one seed in the SWAC tournament, though, by virtue of their win over Grambling last night. That thing was tight till the very end, and the Hawk defense wasn't as sterling, I'm sure, as Fran McCaffrey wants. And, again, comes out last night, Connor McCaffrey now battling mono, and is going to be out a couple more weeks. So no Nicholas Bear, no Connor McCaffrey for this run for Iowa, probably against Cincinnati and Virginia Tech, and maybe into the first part of that many Big Ten swing early on against Penn State starting off on December the 2nd, and then against Indiana.
That's very unfortunate, but Iowa's going to have to play through it. Isaiah Moss had a nice game last night once again. I know you've seen him a couple times, and you think he's an integral part of this team. And Nungy and Garza combined for 30 and 16 last night, which you would expect it against a team like Grambling. So those guys are off to a good start as well.
Yeah, they are. 319.
Still no Nick Bear either.
No. 319-366-1600 if you'd like to comment here. And the Iowa wrestling team won today three times.
It did. 48-0 against Iowa Central, 33-6 against Buffalo, 38-6 against North Dakota State, The Hawks won all but three matches.
They were 27-3.
Exactly.
18 bonus point victories today at the Iowa City Duels for the Hawkeyes.
And on the text line, 4702, how about Iowa and Colorado State? There's a lot of Iowa fans in Fort Collins. If you missed it, Iowa and Colorado State agreeing to a game at Kinnick Stadium in 2021. That season, Iowa opens against Indiana, and still a date to be filled in the non-conference portion of that season. Right now, Iowa State and Colorado State. I don't mind this game. Mountain West team, you know, it's not
good history.
FCS
Jim McElwain
team.
Was there prior to going to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Built them up a little bit. Sonny Lubick at Colorado State.
Earl Bruce was there.
Yeah.
After his stint at Northern Iowa. This is a decent opponent. It's. Would you rather have Colorado or Colorado State?
Either one.
Yeah.
Either one. Colorado has been pretty good the last couple of years, but down this year a little bit. But Colorado State, that's a good push. You go Colorado State, Iowa State. In that, I don't think you want to bite off any more than that
mm-hmm.
in a non-conference. So I think kudos for the Hawks, in my opinion. 319-366-1600. All right, 320, we need to take a break. We have a Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away today on the program. And coming up on the Todd Brommelkamp Show, they will have this week a La Cantina $30 gift card to give away sometime between 4 o'clock and 6:45 tonight. Rob Howe is going to be sitting in with Todd today, and among their guests, former Hawkeye quarterback, enjoying his bye week with the San Francisco 49ers, C.J. Beathard. So tune in for that.
That'll be in the 6 o'clock hour. I know Beathard and George Kittle, both with the 49ers, back this week and going to take in that Purdue game.
Jared Klaus is the honorary captain tomorrow mm-hmm. for the Hawkeyes. We'll take a break, come back, talk Purdue football with Tim Newton after this.
Look alive, coach. Are you ready for next season? If you're thinking about coaching K-12 school-sponsored athletics in Iowa, add getting your state certification from Kirkwood Continuing Education to your game plan. Kirkwood handles the required instruction and fingerprinting. Kirkwood coaching authorization and recertification classes are going on now in Cedar Rapids and Iowa City. And now you can also take the classes online. Visit kirkwood.edu/coaching to get into the game.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Have you seen the Johns lately at TCB Pool Hall? No, not the two guys at the bar. I'm talking about the restrooms. No joke, 5 stars. But enough about that. TCB is a pool hall with 10 full-size tables you can rent by the hour, so you can play as long as you want. There are always interesting drink specials. I mean, you've got to have something to sip on between shots, right? Play pool, drink cold beer, use the John at TCB Pool Hall on the Pedball next to Mondo Saloon, downtown Iowa City.
Shifting gears is what it takes sometimes to move forward. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is looking for some special people like you who view life a bit differently. You're intrigued by the thought of working all night when the rest of the world isn't. You like the freedom and the pay night work offers, plus overtime. Shifting gears with PMX Overnight offers stellar health benefits with medical, dental, and vision, coupled with rock-solid retirement benefits. Working the overnight shift at PMX isn't for everyone, but shifting gears may be perfect for you. Learn more at ipmx.com.
Two guys who may have faces made for radio. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes. The Gym Class. KGYM.
Back with you at 3:23. It is the Gym Class for a Friday here on KGYM. Coming up tomorrow, we got Iowa State taking on Baylor, Iowa at home on Senior Day, taking on the Purdue Boilermakers. We'll talk about that here in just a moment with Tim Newton, the play-by-play voice of the Boilers coming up. We will have Before the Boom tomorrow at 12:30 for you on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. And then after the Final Gun, to talk about Iowa-Purdue, that'll be live from Coach's Corner Sports Pub, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard in the Walden Square, and we invite you to stop on by after the ball game and have some food, maybe your favorite beverage, and and listen to the folks and us talk about Iowa and Purdue. And speaking of talking about Iowa Purdue, Tim Newton joining us now, the fine play-by-play voice of the Boilermakers, who will be in Iowa City tomorrow. And Tim, that invitation goes out to you as well. If you have a little time afterwards, just stop on by. We'll buy you a cold drink. How's that?
I always am up for a cold drink. Not a problem. I'd love to have one.
Very good. Very good. Well, an interesting season for the Purdue Boilermakers as far as football is concerned. I think the foundation being set a little bit, and I think things are kind of trending upward, despite a 4-6 record. I guess, what are your thoughts about it?
I think that's an accurate statement. I think when Purdue fans take a look back at the season, the two games that they're probably going to take a good hard look at are the Rutgers games and the Nebraska games, because those are games that Purdue should have won. They probably should be coming to Iowa City this weekend at 6-4 rather than 4-6, but when you're trying to rebuild a program, sometimes things don't go your way. And I think the encouraging things for Purdue fans right now is that they've been competitive in every game this season. And I think that was one of the goals coming in. They really haven't been embarrassed yet this year. They've been in every game in the fourth quarter, and they're hoping that can continue these last 2 weeks.
Elijah Sindelar now in at quarterback for David Blau. Is Sindelar totally healthy?
Well, you know, I think Jeff Brom has kind of taken the slant of the National Hockey League coaches. We don't get a whole lot of injury information. We don't even get an upper body and lower body. Whether guys have a hangnail or a blown out knee, they're nicked up. So I think Elijah's nicked up this week. He got banged around pretty good last week in the Northwestern game. So I don't think he's coming in at 100%, but I do expect to see him out there tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, and I guess this Purdue team, one thing they have gotten a lot better at is defense. Kirk Ferentz, very impressed by the Purdue defense. He was rattling off a lot of stats, 19 less points per game that they've been giving up, just up and down the line. And that's where it had to start, obviously. The offense, I think, will come, but the defense needed to get shored up.
Oh, there's no question. And I think Jeff Brom has been talking about that since the springtime. He really thought when he came in here that the defense, and particularly the front seven on defense, was pretty solid. He thought it would be the strength of the team, and obviously he's been right. And I think that's the reason why Purdue has been competitive every Saturday, is their defense has kept them in every game. They had did a great job in the first six games of the season. They created 15 takeaways. They've only had one in the last four games, and I know that here these last two games, they'd like to get that total back up. But the defense has given them a chance. The offense has been sporadic. I think the troubling thing, or I think the thing that a few Boilermaker fans are a little concerned about, is you have a lot of seniors on that defensive side, so they'll have a lot of holes to plug starting 2018.
You might have partially answered this, Tim, but five losses by 10 points or fewer, has there been a common denominator in those five games?
Well, I mean, you almost have to take them one at a time. The Rutgers game was probably the most bizarre of the lot, because Purdue had I think they were plus 200 or plus 250 yards of total offense. But it was one of those games they would come up with a false start at the wrong time, and they wouldn't be able to convert third and shorts. And, you know, they left Rutgers with just 12 points on the board, and that really was unfortunate, especially the defense played very well that day. The defense gave up 109 yards on two scoring plays, and on the other 53 snaps, they gave up 108 total yards. Mm. So they were dominant except for two plays, and the problem was the offense couldn't bail them out that day. So, you know, I just think that, I will say this, it's an offense that does not have a lot of explosive ability, and when you're trying to grind out these eight-play drives, these 10-play drives, the false start penalties and the drop passes really start to play a bigger factor, because you're not able to make that up in one burst, and you've almost got to play flawless football over an 8 or 10 play span to get down the field. And I think that's one of the things that we've seen trip them up in some of these losses this year.
Tim Newton joining us, play-by-play voice of the Purdue Boilermakers on the Friday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. One of the things I'm impressed by, not only the defense and how much better they've gotten, but also impressed by the receiving core. Nine receivers for Purdue have at least double-digit catches, and that's pretty impressive.
they have spread the ball around pretty well. I would tell you that Coach Brown and the offensive staff have not actually been very pleased with the production this year of the receivers. They really don't have what they would consider a go-to guy, and I think that's been one of the difficulties. I think they've got a breakout star in the making in redshirt freshman Jarrett Sparks, who also, by the way, will be the backup quarterback tomorrow. But he had 11 catches last week for 130 yards against Northwestern. He's got the ability to get downfield. He's very elusive in the open field, and he's a guy that I think they would like to see come up with some big plays. But in general, the receivers have been a little bit inconsistent this year, and there just hasn't been that one guy that you can go to every game and say, okay, third and six, we need a play. We're going to throw the ball to this guy, and he's going to make the big catch.
Does anyone in West Lafayette, Tim, have any idea which Iowa team they will see?
Well, they're kind of hoping they're going to see the team that played last week. We were actually watching the Iowa-Wisconsin game while we were at Northwestern waiting for the night kickoff. And, you know, having seen them just roll through Ohio State a week before, it was shocking to see how inept Iowa was on Saturday. And I'm sure that Kirk Ferentz has their attention this week, and I'm sure that they're on senior day going to want to make amends for that. But, you know, that's the beauty of – we talk about it every week. The beauty of college football is that you literally never know what's going to happen. And the people that actually put their hard-earned money up for grabs on this stuff ought to have their heads examined. Because I don't know how you can do that from week to week and go through the highs and lows.
Well, a lot of people are questioning exactly what Iowa team is going to show up on Saturday here. And you imagine how hard our job is, because we have no idea what team is going to show up from week to week.
It does make it exciting, though. You never know what you're going to see from week to week.
That's true. That is very true. How about the future? I'm sure everybody in West Lafayette has heard the fact there are rumors out there about the new Purdue coaching staff and the head coach maybe going here, maybe going there. I know that they're making a concerted effort to get the facilities upgraded in West Lafayette. And what do people think around the Purdue campus?
Well, you know, I've been around this long enough to never say never. And I'm not saying that Jeff Brown is going to have a lifetime contract or a lifetime stay at Purdue, but I think he seems to be happy with what he's received so far, not only in obviously his salary, but also the assistant coaches. They have a new $65 million football performance complex that's just opened up this fall. There will be big renovations coming up on Ross-Ade Stadium here again in the next couple of years in the south end zone. So I think from a facilities standpoint and from a salary standpoint, I think that he seems pleased with what he's got. Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be with Purdue fans what we had for decades with Gene Cady, and well, we've had a little bit with Matt Painter on the basketball side. And every time a big name or a big job comes open, I'm sure his name will float up. And again, you never say never, because it's hard to put these in a crystal ball and see what happens. But I think right now that he's got a great relationship with the athletic director, Mike Bobinski, and I think that they're both committed right now to seeing through this rebuild and getting this program back to where it was during the glory days with Joe Tiller.
Well, as important, too, Tim, you're getting butts back in the seat in the stadium.
Yeah, I think coming into the last game next weekend, Purdue has had the number one increase in attendance. Now, the bar was pretty low to start, but they've been up about 12,000 a game, and I do think that Jeff has energized the fan base. You know, I think one of the most important things that's happened here is they've gone back to the roots of what Purdue football has been about, and that is getting guys that can throw the football all over the field, playing a wide-open, exciting brand of football. I think it's probably safe to say that Purdue football did not have an identity the last decade. There was really nothing to recruit to. There was nothing where you could hang your hat and say, this is the kind of the style that we'd like to play. Jeff is very open. He would love to throw the football in every play. If he had 75 plays from scrimmage, he'd like to throw 75 passes. So that's, you know, if you're a quarterback, if you're a receiver, you'd love to hear that. Now, he's got to convince some running backs that, yeah, we're going to run the ball too. But that's the style they're going to play. And we've seen probably more trick plays this year than the last decade combined. So I think people understand that he has put some excitement back into it. I think he's got the fans energized. But he told me back in the spring, he said, I can't do anything if we go out this year and go 2-10. I can't show people and tell people that we're making progress and that they ought to come here. So having success here the last couple of weeks is going to be pretty important. They would love to get to 6-6 and get to a bowl, but I think if they were to split, let's say go 5-7, win the bucket back next week for the first time in 5 years, I think that would get the fans really convinced and some future recruits convinced that, yes, Purdue is headed in the right direction. Here's the style they're going to play, and here's a place that maybe I want to jump on board.
Yeah, I think getting the bucket back is probably one of the big, you know, not to be cute or anything like that, but bucket list items right now as far as Purdue is concerned. And former quarterbacks always want to throw the ball 75 times a game.
You know, the funny thing is they have a competition. I think it's every Friday. So you've got Jeff, who played college and pro football. You got Brian, his brother, who played college and pro football. And they go out and they have an accuracy contest with the current quarterbacks. And I don't know what yard line they stand. I think it's at the 20. And they've got to hit the crossbar on the goalpost. And I can tell you the Brown brothers right now lead that season-long competition. Now, I don't know if that's a good thing that those guys can still throw the ball, or maybe it's a bad thing that you would like more accurate quarterbacks here. But that just shows, I think, first of all, the competitive nature that they have, but also that's in their blood. Jeff loves to spread the field out, and let's throw the ball every play and see what happens.
How are you going to forecast this game this week, Tim?
Windy. You know, I think Purdue's defense will play well because for 10 weeks it's played pretty well. What you don't know, especially with the offense a little bit banged up right now, is how well they can do against that Iowa defense. And, you know, they've got to find a way not to throw the ball to Josh Jackson this week, and they've got to find a way to block Josie Jewell, and that's something that a lot of teams have had difficulty doing.
Hey, before we let you go, Purdue basketball up and running, and a lot of high expectations for this Boilermaker team again this year, led by Isaac Haas in the middle, and a very talented group around him. But Purdue, I think, along with Iowa, two of the teams that are really looking for not only an upper division finish, but maybe even top three, top four in the league.
Oh, I don't think there's any question. I think right now anything below a top three finish would be a big disappointment. And, you know, as crazy as it sounds after you have the Big Ten Player of the Year leaving and a first-team All-American, I think this Purdue team is better than last year's Purdue team because you've got those four seniors. And the guy that's been the real revelation so far has been the freshman Matt Harms, 7'3 kid out of the Netherlands, and he's got incredible skills, can put the ball on the deck, he's got quickness, he can guard on the perimeter, he can pass the ball well, and you match him in there along with the four seniors and with Carson Edwards, who I think is going to be a real breakout player, probably averaging that 15 to 20 point range every game. I think Matt Painter might have his best basketball team, maybe going back to the days of Hummel and Moore and Johnson when they had a great chance at the Final Four before Robbie got hurt.
Hey, Tim, we haven't introduced our poll question today, our Emo's Hideaway poll question. Maybe you can take a stab at this.
Sure.
KGYMradio.com is where to find it. Who will benefit more if the one-and-done rule disappears, the NBA or college hoops?
Who will benefit more?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think in the long haul, it will be better for college basketball because I think that we'll get back to the days of program building rather than player searching, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the NBA is it's a potential league. I'm amazed every year when I watch the draft and see these guys that, you know, I'm sure they're great players, these one and done that maybe you haven't seen play or haven't heard of. I've got to believe that, you know, they will benefit from that because they'll get some players with a higher skill level coming in and hopefully more maturity. But I think, and maybe it's because I like college basketball better than I like pro basketball, but I just think that we can get back now. If a kid doesn't want to go to school, let him go straight to the NBA. Mm. I think getting rid of that and letting the kids go straight into the league, that's fine. But let's get college basketball back to being a kind of like where you have in college football, where you can map things out and you can build for the future and you can actually try to get these kids an education. I'll go with college basketball on that.
I think you're absolutely spot on there, Tim. And but keep the evaluation process. If you have these kids in high school that want to go to the pros, and most of them, more than half of them, you don't even hear about. They get either lost in overseas or in the D or G League, and then they're out of basketball, and they could have used 2 or 3 years in college. Give them that evaluation process and before they just come out of high school and say, I'm going to the NBA.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think that even has to start early, probably either late in their junior year or early in their senior year, because you may get a situation if you've got a kid who's convinced that, hey, I'm going straight to the NBA. I'm not going to bother going to class. I'm not going to bother making sure that I've got the grades that I need, the scores that I need to get into college. And all of a sudden, he realizes midway through his senior season, hey, nobody's calling me. Nobody's interested in me. You know, waiting until the end of their senior year in high school to do that, as ridiculous as that sounds, might be a little bit late, because now these kids have put themselves in a jackpot where, you know, I guess they would have to go the junior college route or do something to try to get some experience, maybe even play overseas somewhere. But I do think I love the early evaluation that they have for college underclassmen, and I think at Purdue we've seen a lot of benefit of that, because not only do they get straight a straight shot answer, but it also gives them something that they can work on. You know, Vincent Edwards has talked about pro scouts have told me X, Y, and Z, so I've gone and I've worked on those things. Well, having another set of evaluators, having another set of eyes on you can never hurt, and especially people who know exactly what they're looking for. So I do think that that's been a great thing for the college underclassmen.
Yeah. All right, Tim. Hey, have a great call tomorrow. Always appreciate talking with you, and best of luck to the Boilermakers. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Love coming to Iowa City. Great Hawkeye fans here.
All right. Thanks, Tim. 3:40 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. Tim Newton, he is the play-by-play voice of Purdue football and basketball. We are going to get the panel assembled coming up here in just a little bit. Yeah, and our poll question, wanted to touch on that as well, Mark. And the one and done, and we've talked about it before, but this system they have in place right now is just not working. And I think Ben Simmons was finally the one that has broken this system at this particular point anyway. And is there a perfect way to do it? No, there's not a perfect way to do it. But you got to think, if there's going to be a way to do it, I think you do it like baseball. But have the evaluation process there, like they do for these college kids. There are so many high school kids that just say, oh, because the group and the posse around them tell them, oh, you're good enough to go to the NBA, dude. Well, you're not. Look at Monte Morris. Look at George Niang. You know, look at Peter Jock. Look at all those people. And exactly, you know, look at all those people. And they're not in the NBA. And they're good basketball players.
Well, the system as it is right now, neither the NBA or college basketball likes it. So why not get rid of it? I mean, in college basketball, it's a farce. It's hypocritical, these kids going in as freshmen, knowing they're only going to play one season, not concentrating one iota, I'm generalizing here, on academics, and then they're off to the NBA or find out they're not good enough, they're in the G League or they're in Europe, whatever. I don't know what the – basketball is more like baseball than it is football. Kids out of high school are not ready for the NFL.
No.
So, therefore, they've got to spend some time in college.
Yeah, spend 3 years in college.
Yeah. I think in high school, I agree with the evaluation process, but once you go to college, I think you have to stay there a couple years.
I think you have to be there at least 2-3 years. I'd like to see it 3 years, but I don't think that's going to get passed.
Age 20, I don't know.
But something's got to change, and this one and done is just not working, I think, at this point, and I think it will get changed. I think it's going to get changed. But that is our poll question. Take a look at it at KGYMradio.com. When we were talking with Tim Newton, we were talking to Iowa and Purdue, and going to get a call in from Wally real quick here before we get to break and get to the pick six here. Wally, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'll make my comment, and then I'm going to ask you a question about some football players. Tomorrow is probably more of an important game, mentally maybe. I don't know how you want to look at it. But if Purdue wins out, they go to a bowl, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Just wanted to make that point. Might have some effect on how the game is played tomorrow. I don't know. Okay. Keyshawn, is it Brian or Bryant? And the program is spelled Bryan.
For Iowa?
Yeah, I've got all the running backs returning from next year. I want just you to let me know if there are any career-ending injuries, anybody talking about transferring, or are they just waiting in line? I'll name the players off.
I haven't heard anything in any regard. All you need to know about next year is Torn Young.
You know what? There's a guy that's pretty close to your program and the Iowa football program, and he and I agree that the feature back, maybe Ivory Kellen Martin. And, I mean, he's the one that's back there returning the kickoffs. Maybe that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. It could be. I think he's going to be in the mix as well. Kashawn Bryan is from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. He is a freshman at this point and being redshirted. And other than that, I don't know a whole lot about him right now.
Okay, and then last year this kid got to play, he had a little bit of playing time. It's Tokes Akinrabadi.
Tokes Akinrabadi, yep.
Akinrabadi, yeah. You know, he kind of a north-south runner. He puts on a few pounds, and he had looked like he was pretty quick getting to the hole. I'm assuming they're redshirting him because when they brought in Miller, his chances of playing time were going to be decreased considerably, unless there was some injury or something. But I'm hoping that he comes back next year. And there's no doubt about it. Young runs very hard. I agree with you guys on that. It's going to be either him or both him and Martin.
Well, that's where it starts next year. Whether it ends that way. You and I both know Wally Iowa needs more than one running back every year.
Correct. Maybe some. You know what? I'll tell you a real story. Let's see. The kid that was second or third string running back, he played for the Vikings, Albert Young. Okay. And then they recruited this running back. I think his last name was Sims out of Florida.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, that year I took my kid down to the kids' day thing. And he happened to be standing in the tunnel there, and I said, I think I remember who you are, blah blah blah. And I says, what's your plans? He says, I'm gonna redshirt. I says, well, you never know. You might have to be ready. And that's when they lost four running backs, and then, number 48, help me out.
Oh, the young man from Emmitsburg, huh? Yeah,
Sam Brownlee.
Sam Brownlee.
Yeah, he came in and did a heck of a job. So, but anyway. That doesn't happen very often.
Time for our picks, Wally. Thanks.
You bet. Thank you.
319-366-1600. 346, we're going to take a break. Pick six coming up here. We're going to get hooked up with the folks, Todd and Sean, down at Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. I have Alex's picks. Kyle will join us coming up here in just a little bit as well. And we need to get to a Dr. Pepper prize pack coming up. Yes? No? Yeah. Kyle says, yeah, we're going to do that. Yeah. Calling an audible. By the way, happy birthday to Kyle out there. So when you call him, tell him happy 24th birthday out there. We have a Dr. Pepper prize pack to give away. And that's a 24-pack of regular Dr. Pepper or Diet Dr. Pepper, some KGYM prizes, some Dr. Pepper prizes as well. 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. Call number 6. You will pick that prize up. We'll get the panel together right after this.
DirecTV has been rated number 1 in customer satisfaction over cable for 17 years running. But some people still like cable, just like some people like being crushed by a massive linebacker.
Thanks!
Shanking the game-winning field goal.
Yes, I missed!
Finding hair in their nachos.
Tastes better.
And getting snapped with a wet towel in the locker room.
Ow! Fun!
For everyone else, there's DirecTV. For number 1 rated customer satisfaction over cable, switch to DirecTV. Call 1-800-DIRECTV.
As compared to other major subscription TV cable providers, claim based on 2001 to 2017 ACSI surveys of customers rating their own TV provider's performance.
The best part about Dell's Black Friday sale is not that they have the lowest prices of the year. It's not just that they have the hottest electronics and tech, like the latest laptops with Intel Core processors and the latest gaming PCs. Or that there's free shipping and extended returns on everything. Or that it lasts until November 26th. No, the best part is you can shop these amazing doorbusters while wearing your Jam Jams. All you gotta do is go to Dell.com/Black Friday or call 800-BUY-DELL. Because why would you put on clothes if you can shop in your comfy pants?
We'll be right back.
And we're back in studio with Oregon's mascot, the Duck. So what was it like to star in this season's Nissan Heisman House? And how was it to work alongside current NFL star and Oregon Heisman winner Marcus Mariota? Well, what's the deal with this guy? He's usually pretty animated. We'll be right back with more from Oregon's The Duck. Visit NissanHeismanHouse.com for more. And while you're there, vote for this year's Heisman winner.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
As GIs returned from overseas and families began to boom, young Willa Dickens began honing his watchmaking craft at a highly regarded jewelry store on a bustling corner in downtown Iowa City. He worked steadily behind his jeweler's glass, eventually taking over the business. And as his reputation grew, so did his family. Sons Terry and Tim spent afternoons at his knee, learning about gemstones, precious metals, and most importantly, how to properly treat a customer. And as the decades passed, the three of them, along with a remarkably dedicated staff of friends, as well as Willa's granddaughter Kate, continued the tradition of excellence and integrity begun at Hertine and Stocker Jewelers in 1947. Now, as they celebrate their 70th year, stop by and see what's sparkling in those famous windows on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say congratulations to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Hawkeyes, Cyclones, Panthers, and all the college teams in the area. If it's in the news, they'll be talking about it. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on The Gym Class, KGYM.
When you're looking for a new pair of glasses, it's nice to have a pair of locations to choose from. That's why McDonald Optical has two Iowa City locations. Stop and see McDonald Optical in their brand new space next to Panera, inside the Iowa City Marketplace on the east side of town. Or come to their tried and true store on South Clinton Street downtown. Schedule an eye exam with one of their excellent doctors. And find your next pair of glasses at one of McDonald Optical's pair of Iowa City stores. McDonald Optical. Eyewear as individual as you.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
At the gym, we...
That was my fault on that one. Back with you on the Gym Class, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM, KGYM. We've got Iowa State football or basketball coming up at 5:30. That'll be on 1600 AM. Local programming at that time will be heard on 107.5 and 106.3 FM. And also coming up tonight, we've got Iowa City West High football going for the state championship at the Unidome. That'll be on 107.5 and 106.3 FM coming up at 6:45 tonight with Alex Kuhn, Gary Fickle, and Todd Warner on the call. And speaking of on the call, we got Sean ready to go here. And Sean's joining us here on a Friday as we get ready for the picks here. How you doing on this Friday, Sean?
Good, guys. How are you doing?
Very good. Very good. And you're getting ready for senior day, aren't you?
Absolutely. Hopefully the weather holds out and we don't get any of the wet stuff tomorrow.
I'm hoping there's not any snow tomorrow.
Take snow over rain.
Very good. Todd has joined at Coach's Corner, getting ready for the program. He and Rob Howe today. Is Rob giving you? Is he giving you help down there, or how's it going?
Yeah, he's my engineer and guidance counselor today. We're all ready to roll.
Very good. Very good indeed. All right. By the way, Kyle, happy birthday to you and Dustin at Cedar Rapids, our winner, correct?
That's right, and he also wished me a happy birthday.
Ah, very good. Very good indeed. All right, Todd, let's hit it. Game number one.
Oh, who won last week? Who are we starting with?
Mr. Mark Dukes.
Oh, just, I knew the answer to that. I just wanted to boost Mark's ego a little bit. Let's go ahead and Mark, we're going to start in Waco, Texas. Iowa State is a 9.5-point road favorite taking on the Bears tomorrow.
How old are you, Kyle?
24.
I think when I was 24, I had a Mercury Marquis Brome.
Oh.
You familiar with that?
Not at all.
Time short here, Iowa State.
Kyle, happy birthday. You're up next.
I'm also taking Iowa State.
All right, Todd.
I did not have a Mercury Brome when I was 24, but I think I thought I felt like I knew everything at that point in time and learned a really hard lesson a couple years later. I don't think I'd want to live that age over again. I'm going to take Iowa State here. Why not? Baylor's bad.
Despite that, Alex is taking Baylor.
Ah, dang it.
Sean, who do you like, Iowa State or Baylor? You've been going on the Cyclone train as of late.
I only took them once, ever.
And they won.
Yeah, well, Sunday's my birthday, so I'm definitely not going to take Iowa State on my birthday weekend. I'll go with Baylor.
Happy pre-birthday to you, Sean.
You got it.
All right, I'm going to go with Iowa State in this one, given the 9.5 up. All right, game number two, Todd. This is an interesting one.
It is. So we're going to pick this at 39.5. The number is actually much larger than that now. Illinois is at Ohio State this weekend. This is the largest recorded point spread ever involving two Big Ten teams.
Yeah, there's a reason I feel like that this is the largest ever. It's hard to cover lines this big. I'm going with Illinois.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Ohio State here. Illinois is awful, and Buckeyes are still trying to get those dreaded style points. My favorite term, my favorite cliche, style points.
Alex is taking Ohio State along with you. Sean, you going to throw those 39.5?
We woke up Ohio State, boys. Ohio State, big. I'll take Ohio State.
All right. Next week is that game with that team with an M in it. I think Ohio State wins big, but not big enough. I'm going to take Lovie Smith and those 39.5, Mark.
I can only imagine what kind of vehicle Sean had when he was 24. Let's see.
What'd you have, Sean?
I had a 1991 Dodge Dell.
Good boy. Ohio State, please.
Game number three.
Game number three, Michigan is at Wisconsin. The Badgers are a 7.5-point favorite at home. I think I get to kick off this one. I'm going to take the Wolverines.
Alex is taking Wisconsin, which sends us to Sean.
After what I saw last week, it's hard to go against Wisconsin. I'll pick Wisconsin.
I'm with you, Sean. Great pick. That Wisconsin defense was stout, stout, stout. Give me whiskey in this one.
Not biting on the hook here, Wisconsin.
Yeah, I don't think Michigan is going to struggle to score so bad. Wisconsin.
Todd's on an island.
I don't mind being on that island. It's really difficult to get to 11-0 in the Big Ten, and we'll see how that game plays out. Nebraska is at Penn State this weekend. The Nittany Lions are a 26-point favorite.
Alex is going to take Penn State and throw the points. Sean.
Yeah, give me Penn State.
I'm going to take Penn State as well. Nebraska's bad.
Nebraska's packed it in. Penn State, please.
Yeah, and Nebraska's going to be giving away possessions. I'll take Penn State as well.
I'm going to take Penn State, but first let me tell you a story about the time I met Damian Sims. We'll move on. So that's Penn State across the board?
Yes.
Well, that's no fun. Minnesota at Northwestern, the Wildcats, are a 7.5-point favorite, Sean.
You know, Minnesota looked pretty good last week, even though it was against Nebraska. I'll take Minnesota.
This is Destiny's Darlings. I will take Northwestern, throwing the 7.5 at home.
97-82 on the text line remembers when you were called a fuddy-duddy, Todd. Minnesota, newfound confidence. Northwestern may win, but it'll be by 7 in overtime. Give me Minnesota.
Minnesota's bad. Northwestern's hot and at home. I'm taking Northwestern.
Boy, I want to take Minnesota here and the hook, but I can't. I'm going to take Northwestern and Fitz and the Cats.
All right, game six.
Scott, what'd this Alex one's take? On you.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Alex took Minnesota. All right.
Purdue at Iowa tomorrow afternoon. The Hawkeyes are an 8.5-point favorite, and the tiebreaker this week will use Nate Stanley's passing yards.
I like the Hawks on senior day. I think they're going to be motivated, and I think we're going to see the good Iowa team coming up tomorrow. And I'm going to throw the 8.5, and I'm going to go with 158 yards in the slop tomorrow for Nathan Stanley.
Give me Purdue to cover and 146.
Yeah, I'm taking Purdue as well, and I'm going to say Stanley gets to 180.
I'll take the Hawks to cover tomorrow. I think they win rather comfortably, and let's see. What model was that on that Brome, a 72, Mark?
Yes.
Give me 172.
Purdue thinks Iowa wins, but he's taking Purdue. He wanted me to say that. He's going to take the Boilermakers, and he's going with 139. Sean, you got the last word.
All right. There's no way in hell we're as bad as we were last week or as good as we were against Ohio State. I think we're going to win pretty handedly tomorrow. I'll take the Hawks, and Stanley's going to have a big day. I'm going to go 301.
Oh, there you go. 301 for that. All right. Todd, I'll let you get ready for the show coming up, and I know you got one very special guest coming up during the 6 o'clock hour for you and Rob.
Yeah, C.J. Beathard is going to join us on the phone. We're also going to talk a little Purdue football with Mike Carmen from the Lafayette Journal and Courier. Rob's done Love It or Leave It before, and we got a big basketball game to talk about last night. Grambling coming to Iowa City and giving the Hawks a little bit of a run for their money. We'll figure out what's going on with the Iowa basketball team as they head for the tournament.
All right. Sean, what time's everything cooking tomorrow?
Everything's rocking and rolling at 10 a.m. at both places. Kind of last showdown. Hope to see everybody there.
All right. Appreciate it, Sean. Thanks, man.
All right, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
You bet. And we'll be with Todd coming up here in just a moment. You got a traffic update, Mark?
From 9406 in the text line, there's traffic backed up on I-380 south from the Penn Street exit to the Des Moines-Coralville exit. A crash in the left lane, so beware if you're in that vicinity.
All right. So a little bit of a traffic update for you. We'll keep you abreast of that situation. We need 6 contestants right now. If you've been a winner in this, please do not call in. Let's go for some new blood, some new folks here. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. And hit your wagon to one of the prognosticators. If your picker has the best week, you'll get a $30 gift card to Carl Nerney's Good Time Pub and Grub in Iowa City on Highway 1 West. Mark, you and Kyle have the ship Monday and Tuesday. I'll see you on Wednesday.
Sounds good. We'll be with you from Coach's Corner Sports Pub after the game tomorrow.
All right. You've been listening to the Jim Class, KGYM.
Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM.